Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back into the Chase McCabe Show, live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studio. You can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook live every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. Download their app and use the promo code THEGAME today. And lastly, we are your racing station here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game, Nashville's home for NASCAR. Tune in tomorrow for the Coke Zero Sugar Free 400 at Daytona beginning at 7 p.m. NASCAR on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game is presented by O'Charlie's. Fun fact.
Nice job there, all those reads.
So either way, getting back into the Tennessee Titans, Joe, one thing I wanted to ask Jim Wyatt was about the wide receiver position, because with the injuries to Treylon Burks and to Kyle Phillips here in the preseason, it's going to be really important to get the right guy. And there's a lot of guys there in the bottom that are kind of fighting for a position. And also they need a punt returner too, something that they haven't had consistently in a while. So it all kind of ties in together here. And it's something that is not the sexy thing to watch for. It's not the backup quarterback competition. But in my opinion, I think it's the most important going into the season.
The fourth and fifth receiver we won't see during the regular season unless there's an injury. I mean, so I don't want to see Hopkins tonight. I don't want to see Burks tonight.
Burks isn't playing because he's hurt.
Right. But I just let these other guys play and kind of battle it out tonight and see what happens and go from there. You don't need to see Hopkins.
No,
you don't
need definitely see Tannehill. Not. Definitely not.
You don't see Derrick Henry. You don't see all that stuff. Just let it go out tonight and let those guys play. And then, like, they know. There's maybe one or two spots they're up for grabs on this football team. They know. I mean, they know who they've got and who's going to happen. I mean, but what happened was when I was in the media for years, TV covering the team, you start silently rooting for guys to make the team. Not even undrafted, but guys in the sixth and seventh round. Like Cortland Finnegan back in 2006, you just rooted for him because the guy had a great couple games in the preseason. You hope he's going to make the team. He was a seventh round pick. And there was a former tight end named Bo Scaife the same way. He was a fifth or sixth rounder, came out of camp. You got to know the guy. You liked him, wanted to make the team. I feel the same way about Colton Dow. I want him to make the team. Local boy, went to UT Martin, played the small school. I like to see him make this football team just because there's a vested interest from a lot of people around this area for we like feel-good stories.
I am a big Colton Dow fan. I mean, he's 6'4".
He's a big Junie Riddle fan, too. He said so the other day.
I know. We have a lot
of He said, Junie, that guy from Western Kentucky? And I was like, we talking about the same guy? And he's like, yeah, I grew up in Louisville and went to Western. I said, same guy. So the feeling is mutual.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. But 6'3", runs a 4'4". I mean, big physical receiver. He has all the traits to make the team, and I'm glad that they took a flyer on a local kid like that has a lot of potential, a lot of upside. In his combine, a lot of people don't talk about this. He posted one of the better bench press numbers. So he's a strong, stout, fast kid that's super athletic. And what I've kind of seen from him and read about from practice and in the joint practice is that here in the last like week and a half, he's kind of really come along
good
and made some really big plays, some touchdowns, some burning some of the backup corners. I would really love to see him, somehow get on this team. But, as you know, a lot of these guys are going to have to, do something on special teams in order to make it.
Yeah, they have no choice, and that's fine. What did he had a great line the other day at camp, he said, I hope I have more tackles than receptions this year. I think he said that.
Yeah.
That makes sense?
No. Well, I mean, of course, because like you said, if you're the last receiver put on this roster, unless you're a return man, I mean, that's what you want. You want to get out there and make plays in special teams. I mean, how many guys have we seen in the NFL that, a team took a flyer on them because they were out there and willing to play special teams? And let me say this.
Say
special teams is an afterthought to your average fan, but when you actually play football, you got to be fearless to play special teams. Like, it is full-on running down the field, head-on collisions, and it is brutal. I've gotten in high school – I have gotten rocked on special teams.
Nick, high school stories. That's when the show is about. You're about to put up the close for the day sign when we start talking high school antics and high school football.
I'm just saying, I just got mad respect for these guys. I mean,
I know, I'm kidding. Yeah, you're right. You have to do all that, especially a punt team or anything like that that goes on. But I hate it when people say special teams a third part of the game. No, it's not. You run 78 plays on offense. You run 60. You get the other team runs 67 plays, and you punt six times, and then you kick off four times. I mean, so it doesn't add up. But I get what you're saying. And the Titans have been bad at special teams the last couple of years too, as well.
Yeah, Wes from Clarksville texted, and
Wes up to?
He said to ask Jim Wyatt about the kicking situation, and you know, for me. I mean, he's right. When, you know, they bring in Michael Badgley, who's been here before, has been cut, and it seems like they can't find an answer at the kicking position.
Have you tried going out with your buddies and kicking a 25-yard field goal just for fun?
I haven't. I miss every single time.
It's
extremely hard.
It is. I mean, the pressure on that is – and I know they're kickers. They've been doing it a long time. I mean, just the stress of that. No way. You know, when Ryan Succop made that long kick against the Chiefs years ago in the regular season, I think it's 2016, that was to win the game. It was just like 50-something yards to do that. Just I couldn't imagine. But I know, you know, nerves are steel and do all that stuff, but it's not easy to just go out there. Plus the pressure of the coach looking at all that, just you bottle that stuff up and go out there and make a play and try to do that? No.
So, what do you think? I mean, they've been going and picking up guys off the streets. Do you think that they invest?
Right. I just.
Like, hey, man.
There's that meme of Vrabel. Have you seen that meme of Vrabel? He's in a car and he pulls up to. So he's on the street, like he's picking up, street walker or whatever. And he's like, she's like, what'll it be, honey? He's like, $50 if you could kick a field goal. Oh, man, that was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. But there's a lot of, what makes it even fun, there's a lot of truth to that because you do. I mean, you can, and I'm not a big punter or kicker fan, but you got to have a good kicker on. You know, there was actually a kicker in 1982 or 83 that was a National League, the NFL MVP. Mark Moseley of the Redskins. Was way before your time. I know you're.
No, I know who he is.
Yeah, he's one of probably the last straight-legged kickers that was in the league.
I feel like I'd be good at guessing his birthday. What's his birthday?
He's probably 70 or something. But there was a kicker that made. He was the NFL MVP. Can you imagine that? A kicker. But he was great for the Redskins that year. I think that's the year that they did win the Super Bowl. I think that's it.
I don't know. The Dolphins. Is intern Brandon still here? He's a big Washington fan.
He is.
82, they win the Super Bowl that year?
I think so.
He believes they did.
Okay, 82, they did win the Super Bowl. But no, isn't that back when kickers had like the flat foot at the end and they would just kick it straight?
Yeah.
Like it was like a box at the end of the foot.
And they would – no, that was a guy that didn't have half a foot. You're thinking of Tom Dempsey from the Saints. He had half a foot, so he kicked with his shoe was a block because he had no like half a foot.
I thought like all the old kickers kind of had the blocked out.
Man, how football has changed.
No, he did half a foot. Tom Dempsey kicked the 63-yarder for the Saints, like 1970 or 71. He had half a foot, so
half a foot all the leg.
1983, by the way.
Huh?
83 was when they won.
Mark Moseley?
Yes.
Okay, so he was MVP of 83.
He was MVP of 82, but they won in 83.
The Super Bowl was – no, we go by seasons. 83, the Raiders won the Super Bowl in 83. We go by seasons, not when the game was played.
I'm going off intern Brandon. He's the
– Well,
the
Brandon Washington needs to go run laps because he's incorrect right now. We go by the season.
Yeah.
So 82 was – I'm pretty sure –
the MVP year and the Super Bowl combined, yeah.
Yeah. Like last year, the Chiefs won the Super Bowl not for the 2023. They won the 2022 season. Yeah. Go on. With their half a foot kicker.
I'm right there with you, Joe.
So, Texter on the text line says, it's wild to think that there aren't 32 people in the world who can kick consecutively good field goals.
That's a great point, yeah.
The world's biggest wonder. Why can't there be 32 people that can kick
field goals? It's all got to go perfect, you know, with the long snap to the holder. To me, I think the holder is one of the toughest positions. I mean, that's just, you got to get it, spin it around, laces out. You got to get it down.
Laces out, Dan.
Get it down. Here's a question that's always asked, which always befuddles me. All right, so in college, if you get a knee down, you're down, right? So when you snap to the holder, his knee's already down. Why is the ball not down right there?
Well, I don't know.
Right? There's really no explanation for that. I'm sure there's a rule book somewhere that says the holder's allowed to do that. But could you imagine if the holder had to squat and do that?
Like a catcher in baseball?
Right, yes. So why is he not down in college football where you snap the ball to the holder, he's already down? So it's always makes me laugh. You know what also makes me laugh? And I know we have Andrew Allegretta coming up from Vanderbilt here in a minute, but you watch baseball, the managers wear the uniform of baseball, right?
Yeah.
I'd love to see Vrabel come out in full pads. I'd love to see him in full pads
just like
tonight.
Like the coach from the longest yard.
Full pads.
But man, it's a goal line play.
Or Greg Popovich in a basketball uniform. I mean, I would like to see NBA coaches in a basketball uniform like they're playing. It would make me laugh, and we'd get a good guffaw off of that if we could see that. But I'd love to see Vrabel come out tonight in full pads. Especially tonight against his old team, the Patriots.
Chip from Mountain Juliet says some kickers kicked with a flat foot or flat front on the cleat. So I wasn't kidding.
But I think you were implying Tom Dempsey, because that's with the block on the foot.
I thought it was more common that more kickers did that. Yeah,
probably
I just
it
was is. Like a staple of the time until.
Well, and they used to have a little tee on the ground too that you could put it on, and that's all. They took all that away too as well. Not the regular kickoff tee, but a little like thing, like a little. Paperweight you could put the ball on. Forget what it's called to do all that. Anyway, there we go. We solved a lot of problems in that segment.
Brian says, sign the mule, Ray Finkel rules, laces out, Dan. That is
I mean, was awesome. He a good kicker that just got a bad because Dan didn't turn the laces out?
It had to be. I mean, the whole movie is just, you know, his whole life was ruined.
I mean, he got to the NFL because he was a good kicker. He did. Because he was a good kicker, or he or she got to the NFL because he was a good kicker, right? So he had to get to that level, and then Marino just didn't turn the laces out. That, so do you blame it on Ray Finkel? I don't know. Now, you know that movie. What year were you born?
96.
All right, that came out in 93. So you know that movie.
There's just
I'm proud of you.
There's certain all-time classics that you just have to know. Like okay. Like I said, I'm the biggest Star Wars nerd out there. Yeah. Like I love Star Wars, and again, that's, you know, whatever my parents liked is what, you know.
All right, who shot first, Boba Fett or
Han Solo shot first?
Okay,
1000%.
Not Boba Fett. Who was the guy? In the bar.
Oh,
his name's not Junie, is it? Juno, Junie. What's his name?
Might as well be. That guy deserved to get shot.
Okay. So, again, we got a break. Man.
Coming up next, we're going to have Andrew Allegretta, voice of Vanderbilt football and baseball, to talk about their game in week 0 as they host Hawaii tomorrow night that you can hear right here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. You're listening to the Chase McCabe Show. Junior Riddle, Joe Dubin. We'll be right back. Dude, we got so many texts on that. Just talking about bullshit. Welcome back in to the Chase McCabe Show. Junie Riddle, Joe Dubin here filling in for Chase McCabe live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. Joining us now, we have the voice of Vanderbilt football and baseball, Andrew Allegretta. Andrew, how are we doing this morning?
I'm doing great. It's college football season, like it is here. So I'm doing great. I can honestly feel the energy bubbling up throughout the past couple of days. So it's been fun.
No, absolutely. Vanderbilt kicking off tomorrow against Hawaii at 6:30. You can hear that right here again on 102.5 and 106.3. The Game. Now, Andrew, the first question I want to get in here with you is about quarterback AJ Swan. You know, last year he was getting thrown into the mix in and out of the lineup. But this is his first season as the starter, as the guy going in camp. How has he looked and how has he kind of progressed from year one to year two at Vanderbilt?
Well, I think the coaching staff feels like he's looked really good throughout the course of fall camp. You know, he came in and out of the lineup a season ago in part because of injuries, in part because of the performance of Mike Wright, and then Mike Wright comes back and performs well against Kentucky and Florida. So that's a difficult thing. Like, A.J. Swan is going into his sophomore season. But sort of in reality, in terms of real gameplay, he's about midway through his freshman season. I think the thing that is going to be the most unique for him this season is, yes, he is more studied, he's more polished, he understands the offense better. But what he's also done is he's put real game tape out there for opposing defensive coordinators. So, you know, the metaphor for baseball would be that, you know, if you learn how to hit a fastball, eventually people are going to throw you a curveball. And defenses at this point are going to start to throw him some curveballs that, that he's not seen before. And he told me that, too. I talked with him maybe a week or two ago about the fact that he's going into a unique situation where a season ago you could sort of rely on natural talent. And this season it's going to be way more between the ears handling everything that opposing defenses are going to throw him. But he's got the arm talent. He's got the skill set to rise to that challenge. He's just going to have to do it on Saturdays.
So another big name on this offense that I keep hearing about is wide receiver Will Shepard, a senior going into this season. So tell me about what he's been doing through fall camp, and what is something that we could see from him on Saturdays throughout the season?
Well, he's certainly got the heights, and he's got the vertical leaping ability to go win one-on-one matchups. What's going to be significant for Will throughout the course of the season, candidly, is not just Will. I mean, I think Will's very, very motivated. If you kind of peel back the onion on Will's story, there was probably, I think, a hope for him to turn pro a season ago. And as the NFL scouts started to dive into his game tape, they wanted more. So his draft stock would dip from the fourth round to the fifth to the sixth to the seventh. And it became apparent to him that if he was going to be what he expected to be at a draft and NFL level, he needed to prove more at the collegiate level. So he's a motivated guy. What is going to be necessary around him is a running game, obviously, which does need to replace its starting running back, but does have its entire offensive line back, so that helps. And then the elevation of some really gifted but relatively inexperienced wide receivers around him, including a couple of local kids, whether it's London Humphreys out of CPA or whether it's Junior Sherrill out of Lipscomb. There's a lot of talent in that room. So for Will to be his best version, and not to sound like a coach, I get it, but he genuinely is going to need the other pieces because otherwise he's going to get doubled, and that's a problem for anybody in the SEC.
Talking to Andrew Alagreta, the voice of the Vanderbilt Commodores. Andrew, you know, I grew up in Nashville, so I know a lot of history of Vanderbilt football, and every year it's like, you know, this is going to be the year. But it feels different this year with Clark Lee and the momentum off last year. And then you look at the first six games of this season, and I know if you talk to a football coach, I said this yesterday with Chase, the only game that matters to Clark Lee is Hawaii right now, and I understand that. But this is a very winnable – the first six games are very winnable. There's a lot of positive momentum in this football team, not just talk, but you kind of feel it a little bit. Maybe that's just me, but you kind of feel that this Vanderbilt team could be a little bit different this year.
First off, Joe, I do want to note that I live like 2-3 miles down the road from McGavick High School, so I did want to curry favor with you on that particular note. There's a lot of positive momentum for the program, and you've got to play it out on the field. Nobody's burying their head in the sand in terms of you can't just talk it in August and not perform it in September, October, November. I think Clark would be the first to admit that to you. To me, guys, this all centers on the fact, well, there's two things in terms of the football team itself. First, Clark has the most remarkable sense of self about any coach I've been around. Maybe like Coach Corbin and Clark Lee. I'm not saying they're the same coach yet because of obviously Corbin has two national championships. I just mean people that are grounded in what they believe, who they are, and the vision that they have for their programs. That's important at Vanderbilt when there's a lot of external noise that can bump you off your course. And Clark does not let this program get bumped off of his course because of his personal belief in what he sees for this program. That's remarkably significant. Like, don't underplay that. And then the second is the obvious elevation of talent on the field. Like, Will Shepard is an NFL caliber, if he performs to his ability, wide receiver. But he can't do it alone. And what's significant is in that wide receiving room this season, has the potential to be another two, three, or four NFL wide receivers, again, if they perform to their ability. So, and you can speak to this as much as anybody, Joe, and can even give me context. Like, there has obviously been flashes through Vanderbilt's history where they have had NFL talent. But getting the most out of your players requires depth to ease the pressure off of them. That's why Alabama, LSU, so on and so forth are so great. That's why the baseball program at Vanderbilt is so great, is because, you know, if it's Kamar Rocker, doesn't have to do the whole thing, because on Saturday they'll give the ball to Jack Leiter. So I think the fact that there is an obvious elevation of NFL potential on the roster means a great deal for the accessibility of the schedule that they have.
We talk about, you know, the positive momentum. What's the worst case scenario for Clark Lea if we talk to you at halftime tomorrow night? What's the worst thing that could go wrong for him?
I don't know. What do you think?
I think being down three touchdowns at halftime to a Hawaii team you're supposed to dominate. I think that – I mean, okay. I don't
– What about being down four touchdowns?
Yeah, that's bad. Yeah.
No, I don't mean to be facetious.
No, I get you.
Yeah, I mean, the worst case scenario is I don't even really know how to play out the worst case scenario. I think this team has the expectation that they should win this ball game,
right,
and the belief that they should win this ball game. But they also don't go into it, guys, with naivete either. Last year was 63-10, but this is the second season for Timmy Chang. They've got the run and shoot offense back. It's not going to be fully formed yet, but that's a challenging offense, especially for a Vanderbilt secondary that has to prove itself after being gashed a bunch a season ago. So I think they believe and expect to win the game on Saturday, but I also believe they know they're going to get a fight from a motivated, emotional Hawaii team that's in the second year of a coaching staff. So they're going through the same elevation process that Vanderbilt went through, just kind of on a 12 to 24 month delay.
Yeah, you're right with that. And also, if they could go 6-0, which would be fantastic, because they can beat Kentucky, they can beat Missouri, they can win those first four games and head into that Florida game in October at 6-0. Now you're playing with house money. Now it becomes a whole different season. And man, that would be fantastic for them to be 6-0 headed to Florida, because that back half of the schedule, it's tough. And you know it's going to be tough playing the SEC, but boy, that'd be an ideal situation for Vanderbilt.
Yeah, it'd be great. And I am right there with you, and I'm right there with the fan base as well. I think one thing I'll tack on to that, and it's part of the reason that I really like working with Clark and I like being around him. One of his kind of central talking points coming off of last season, especially when we talked to him in the spring and so on and so forth, was, you know, he was getting the praise for going 5-7. And he would always come back to the fact that, like, great, thank you, but ultimately, five wins is not the goal. I don't want to celebrate, and this is his verbiage, doesn't want to celebrate mediocrity, and I love that, right? So he has stated the goal to have postseason play in 2023, and this all cycles back to the first comment I made about you can see Clark's identity everywhere starting to run through this program, and it takes time. Like, it wasn't there in year one, it was starting to get there in year two, and it's even stronger in year three. This idea that, and again, when you spend time with someone, you start to talk like them, but external narratives don't drive their internal motor. Like, that, it's coach speak, but when you reinforce it every day,
right,
you start to live it. And Clark very much reinforces that consistently, and you can see the drive of the team. Again, have to prove it on the field. No one's ducking it. But you can see the internal motor going.
Last one for you here, Andrew. You mentioned London Humphreys, who's a local guy from CPA. I covered him last year, but it seems that this Vanderbilt team has been pulling a lot of local talent. Can you kind of talk about how some of these local kids are doing with Vanderbilt right now, and how that impact of the talent around here may be helping uplift this program?
Yeah, I think the first part of that, Junior, the recognition that it wasn't necessarily easy for Clark to just go get local talent. because of the narrative externally at times of the football program. And I think there is a lot of praise that is deserved for Barton, for Clark, to being focused, the stick-to-itiveness to turn the external narrative on the high school football scene about what it means to play for Vanderbilt. And London Humphreys had a fantastic fall camp. Like, he is a guy that can be a home run threat. Alex Bailey, the wide receiver coach, very much feels like he has a role. He does need to prove he can do more than just be explosive downfield. Junior Sherrill is probably the one that has stood out the most in terms of local talent, wide receiver from Lipscomb. He's built like Jaden McGowan, but moves differently. He's more shifty and agile in the slot. He for sure is going to have a role this season. Exactly what, I don't know, but he'll have a role. And then the other two, one specifically right out of high school at Vanderbilt that I'm really curious to see play is going to be Langston Patterson, the linebacker. Obviously, his brother Kane is the upperclassman that transferred from Clemson. But of the hardest hits that we saw in fall camp, and frankly, at times, a little bit over the line, they came from Langston Patterson. Like, he is a physical, tough football player, and I would not be surprised to see a few linebacker hit sticks from him throughout the course of the season.
That's Andrew Allegretta, voice of Vanderbilt football and baseball. Andrew, thank you for taking the time.
Hold on, Andrew, before you go, you're a Donaldson boy now?
I'm a Donaldson boy. Well, I mean, like, technically, if you want to get into the nitty gritty, I'm a Pennington Bend boy, but I'm a Donaldson boy.
We'll claim you. We need more good people in Donaldson. We claimed you. Don't worry about it. You and The Rock and myself, we're all Donaldson boys at heart.
I say I live in Donaldson. Like, you start to get into nitty-gritty Pennington Bend, and sometimes you do lose people. But Donaldson, yeah.
Attaboy. All right. You just went up two notches in my bed, buddy. Well done.
Appreciate the time, Andrew. Vanderbilt takes on Hawaii at home at Vanderbilt Stadium tomorrow at 6:30. Again, you can hear the game right here on 102.5 and 106.3 of the game. Coming up, we're going to talk a little bit of college football in week zero. I want to hear some of Joe's takes about the state of college football in general. So coming up next,
okay,
we'll get into that. You're listening to the Chase McCabe Show here on 102.5 and 106.3 of the game.
Okay.
Welcome back into the Chase McCabe Show. Junie Riddle, Joe Dubin in for Chase McCabe today.
Where's Chase today? Taking a day off?
He is taking a day off. He just said he just wants a little bit of a long weekend. But your favorite game, Silly Underdog Picks, is back. Make your picks today at thegamenashville.com or the 102.5 The Game app as week zero of college football kicks off this weekend. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Superbook Sports. So go and sign up. For week zero, they're going to be doing that segment again, I believe, this upcoming Thursday for the official week one of college football. So make sure you tune in for that, because that's always some good stuff when it comes to Silly Underdogs.
But great stuff.
But, you know, we've been talking a lot about this off air, and I wanted to bring it on air a little bit with this whole college football.
Bunch of something else.
No, we're not going to talk about that. The college football realignment and all these teams moving conferences, Oklahoma to the SEC, Oregon, Washington, the two LA teams, USC, UCLA going to the Big Ten. I mean, it's just a hot mess. And so you feel pretty strongly about this, and you're also now working with the MTSU broadcast. So
buddy, color commentator. First game next week versus Alabama.
Absolutely, Brian. Yeah. That's a big first game, by the way.
It is.
But I want to gauge you on how you feel about all this transition, and then maybe what it does for a small school like MTSU.
Well, I just think we spent the whole summer talking realignment. We talked very little football. And I've had the same argument for the past couple of years. I want to talk football on the field. I can't control if Oregon or Washington or UCLA, whatever's going on, what the future might hold. I just think we get away from talking about football. And that's why I like to spend my focus on this. I mean, now I'm reading Florida State trying to get out of the ACC. I mean, it's all going to keep going. It's all going to keep changing. But that's why a lot of people that I know are like, you know what, we're just going to go pay attention to the group of five teams and just kind of watch football down there, because there's some conference movement here and there, but nothing like dominating the narrative as it is in the Power Five. So it's just, I don't know, you long for the days of when if you win the SEC, you go to the Sugar Bowl, there's 10 teams, and I mean, those days are gone. I get all that. If you win The Big Eight, you're going to the Orange Bowl. If you win the Big Ten, you're going to the Rose Bowl. Those are just simple times. And now we got into the money part of this. It just dominates so much of the conversation. It just really takes away from talking about the kids on the field. Like, I love that interview with Andrew because we just talked football. We just talked football about Vanderbilt taking on Hawaii tomorrow night. And that was just a fun interview because we're talking about things that are happening on the field, not off the field. So the more we can focus, at least I can, I like to focus things on the field, it's better. But for the Group of Five, for the MTSUs and the Western Kentuckys and things like that, I think it's, you know, they're just going to go out and play football. You know, and that's the bottom line, playing football.
So do you think that it might affect some of those schools in recruiting, possibly? Because – you know, there's always been, like, an outside shot that a team like that could find its way in to the expansion, with it, you know, especially with the playoff expanding to 12 teams. Do you think that with all of these programs crowding into these major big conferences could, you know, maybe dilute, you know, some big-time players that might go to a smaller school so they could start as freshmen, and maybe they just go on to the big school to try and compete and win national championships?
Well, I mean, there's what, 3,000 kids in the portal? Maybe some crazy number of these kids trying to get in and do that. So, and I think it hurts high school recruiting as well, because you get a chance to take a guy who's, you know, if you're at, I don't know, say you're at Troy University and you're recruiting a kid from Birmingham, but then all of a sudden you get two guys from Texas who want to transfer to Troy to play football. That kid in Birmingham's not getting an opportunity to go to Troy. So you're bringing the portal stuff. So it's a whole new dynamic there. The coaches are having to deal with. These coaches are now working all the time because these kids in the portal. You have to re-recruit your own kids. Then you got to recruit the portal kids that come in and all that. So there's got to be some kind of change that's going on with this, because it's these coaches are just working nonstop, just nonstop. But you'll look, good players always find their way somehow, some way. They always find their way to being at that top level, whether it's Power Five, Group of, doesn't matter. They'll find a way.
I worry that this might take certain fans. I know I'm talking about, like, the diehard fans of college football, because they're always going to stay no matter what. But your casual college football watcher, maybe this kind of takes away from them, because with all this movement and it being so centered around money and TV deals, like you said, it takes away from the young people playing. It takes away from the local aspect of college football. There was a tweet by a player that he's like, I chose to play in the Pac-12 because that was the conference that closely resonated to the area of where my family lives, and they could easily come out to my games, and travel was a lot more manageable. And now that you have, you know, California teams flying all the way to the Midwest and even to the East Coast playing a team like Rutgers.
Yeah, right.
I mean, that makes it so hard for, like, local fan bases, for one, but families of players to really get invested because they can't be a part of it as much anymore.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is that, you know, if a kid goes to Stanford, because part of the thing goes to Stanford is like, I'm going to play UCLA, USC, I have to play these teams, and now they're gone. Well, that kid's going to leave Stanford. I know Stanford's a great academic school, and you should go there for academics. I get all that. But, you know, now you don't play that opportunity. So why not transfer to a school where you could get that opportunity to play, or get the opportunity to go someplace and you'll play the UCLA and USC sometimes. So it's just, it's really hit college football hard, and I'm not a fan of that at all.
And the one thing,
nobody asked me, but I'm telling you.
Yeah, and I don't think they asked really anybody that cares about college football. This is, like I said, it's a money grab. For me, I was a proponent of the playoff expansion. I thought that if the playoffs expanded, that maybe the talent would start to spread out around college football a little bit more, because there would be more opportunity for teams to go and win the championship.
I hate the expansion. Hate it.
You do.
Because now it's going to be, well, let's get 12 in. Ah, let's get 24 in. Let's go 32. And then everybody's like, let's get in. That's why I like college football. Every game matters, right? Titans could go 0-3 and still go 14-3 and make the playoffs. You know, you go 0-3 in college, you're done. That's why every game to me always mattered. And people argue, wow, they expansion. But look, you go to 4, they're going to want 6, they're going to want 8, they're going to want 12, they're going to want 16. I mean, it's just go on and on and on. I always liked it. The best 4 always showed up and played football and got the championship.
But I think now, with the way that college football is structured, that this really only benefits the top teams and the top programs because they're going to be in the best conferences. And I feel, you know, when you have a Big Ten and a Big 12 and SEC that's going to have 16, 18, 20, like even up to 20 teams in a conference, that there are going to be programs, you know, like the one we were just talking about in Vanderbilt, that they're going to get overshadowed even more. And I think more programs are going to get shoved to the bottom of these conferences, and they're going to be kind of, you know, played out of relevancy.
Well, almost. Not if you're Vanderbilt, going to just win games. Well, I mean, we talk about that 6-0 start. Then they go to Florida. What beat Florida? Then you play Georgia, and then you got Auburn and Ole Miss and South Carolina, Tennessee. Just go beat those teams. Beat those teams that are on your schedule. All you can do is beat the teams that are on your schedule. That's all you can do. So if I'm Clark Lee, I'm like, you know, people talking about this or that, just play football tomorrow night, you know? Like Bear Bryant said, football comes down to two things, blocking and tackling. Right? And then you take the narrative from there and the tributaries and go off on your own tangent. But blocking and tackling. If I can block better than you and I can tackle better than you, I'm winning a football game. Let's talk football. I can't deal with the conference realignment, who what's going to happen tomorrow, this and that. Just for 60 minutes, tomorrow night, Vanderbilt's taking on Hawaii. Right? First Bank Stadium. That's all we can focus on tomorrow night and do all that stuff. So I think a lot of coaches, it's a whole new for them because of the portal and what's going on. I mean, I remember talking to some coaches, like now you approach a guy differently in practice if he messes up. It's like, are you going to ride him, get on him? And the guy's like, you know, I don't need this. I'm going to hop in the portal and go someplace else. I mean, it's a whole new dynamic they're having to deal with right now. But still, it's about football. Let's keep it at football.
I will say this, and I mentioned this earlier.
Quit pointing at me.
I will.
Not a fan of that.
I am going to really soak in this last college football season with how things have traditionally been. The 4-team playoff, the regional aspect of conferences, and it's going to be a big change. And maybe ultimately it could be for the better. Who knows? Maybe the product might show out. But for me, growing up and watching college football how it was, I'm going to miss it, and I'm going to really soak in. But we got some football tonight, and this is the best level
football that counts.
Football regionally that everybody likes to pay attention to that's going on Friday nights. We got a big game tonight against Pope John Paul II and Father Ryan. We're going to have head coach of Father Ryan, Brian Rector, coming on next to preview this big rivalry game. We're also going to talk about maybe some other high school football games as well around the Mid-State. You're listening to the Chase McCabe Show here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. This week's Nashville's Best Deal of the Week is for Bavarian Beer House at Opry Mills. Bavarian Beer House, Nashville's only authentic German beer hall, is a place full of fun, food, music, and the most importantly, the beer. Enjoy traditional German bratwurst, schnitzel, giant pretzels, and more. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals to get a $50 gift card or for $25 only. Bavarian Beer House, while supplies last.
Well, turn my microphone on there. Thanks.
It works. We call that a Joe Rexroad around here.
Works that well, doesn't it? All right, tonight, big football game out in Hendersonville tonight. It's the Bishop's Cup. Pope John Paul hosting Father Ryan. We are honored to be joined by head football coach at Father Ryan, Brian Rector. Coach, good morning to you. Thank you for doing this.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, for those who know, tell us how important this Bishop's Cup is, not only for your school, but for Pope John Paul and for everybody around.
Well, I mean, you know, when you have schools of like values and faith systems, both diocesan schools, over time, quite the rivalry has been created. This means something. There's no question about it. You know, these things exist all over the country at various different levels. You know, and for high school and for Middle Tennessee and for folks that you know, follow, of course, the two football teams, this is it's pretty much it every year. So, you know, we're excited to get it going.
And what's it like for your team? Because there's every year you guys play, it's just a huge crowd out there, and it's got to make the kids feel good that so many people are out to support them on a Friday night.
Yeah, and of course, I didn't mention that in my previous answer, but you're exactly right, Joe. These type of rivalry games that exist, they're just different because of the atmosphere. The fan bases matter, the bands, everything. It matters, the parents, the alumni especially as well. And as coaches, we recognize that. As administrators, they recognize that. And it's just such a such a great atmosphere. To be honest, it's exactly what every high school kid that plays or that attends one of these schools will remember for the rest of their lives.
Here comes a great football question for a coach. Last week, you guys had a great opening game. Pope John Paul did not have a good opening week one. Does that matter?
No, week one doesn't matter a bit. All that matters is this week. So, obviously, you know, we feel good about our result. I'm sure Coach Snead doesn't feel good about his result. But at the end of the day, zero of that matters as we kick off tonight at 7:30.
So, Coach, I got a quick question for you here. You know, Pope John Paul has been a really good program for the last couple years, but it seems maybe this season they might be on a little bit of a rebuilding year. They lost a lot of really good seniors last season. They had a big-time quarterback, Kenny Minchie, and now they're kind of in a bit of a transitional period. It seems as if you all are the favorites going into this matchup tonight, but what are you telling your guys to keep them motivated to go out and get a win tonight against a big rivalry in a big game?
Well, you know, that's a great question, yeah, but I'll say this. If you have to say something to motivate kids on the team to play, regardless of what happened, that's what we're at. I haven't had to tell them anything, to be quite honest with you. They know. We all know. Every kid at Pope knows. So there's where they may be or where we may be and where we were or where they were. None of that matters a bit. All that matters is what we've got to do tonight, and motivation is pretty much self-contained, quite frankly.
So who's a kid on the team for you this year that you're looking to have a breakout game this season? And not only in this game alone, but who's somebody to look out for guys going out to the game tonight?
Well, there's a few that's really standing for us that have been stalwarts, not just last year, but of course in the preseason and in his first quarterback, Jack Mills, as a slot receiver, Max Kidd at left tackle, Walter at right tackle, Jacob Ollis is our center. You know, these are guys that have a ton. Jeff Jordan and Stevie Mack can do it outside backer, Caden Onku at corner, and then we have two, you know, really good, I feel like we have two safeties that are really going to come into our own this season in Cat Hagen and Alan Bryan, and then we have Jalen Jackson at corner. So we're hoping that a bunch of them step up, and really one I didn't mention yet, but one of our better defensive players at defensive tackle is Makai Collins, who played a lot last year. So I hope there's a lot of names that people will notice by the time, not just tonight, but the rest of the season comes to fruition.
Well, I think it's going to be a great atmosphere. Coach, I know you're busy. You're about to give a test or something here in a little bit, so thanks for the time. And I'll see you at the game tonight. I'll be out there covering for Fox 17. So, Coach, hope to talk to you before the game. Hey, as always, thank you for what you do. You always come on. You always help out. You're always visible for us from the program to talk high school football. We love it, Coach. So thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys. See you later on.
All right. Brian Rector, head football coach at Father Ryan. Sounds like some Pope John Paul people trying to get in on his cell phone there and trying to take it down where you couldn't hear him well.
Yeah. They
like
just
a little wiretapping action.
Something going on.
Blocking the coverage there.
It was. You talked to him about that.
I'll say this. The Bishop's Cup is probably one of the more perennial games of the season.
Now did you go to Ryan?
I did. Yeah, I was a part of the whole Bishop's Cup rivalry.
What year did you graduate?
17. So it was my senior year when Rector took over. We lost my senior year. So he hasn't won it since, besides beating them in the second round of the state championship.
I didn't know that. He's lost the Bishop's
Cup? I believe
Cup.
So. The last time that I've looked at all the information, it's been God knows how long, but 6-7 years.
Oh, boy, he'd love to win. Because Pope had a bad opening week one, and Ryan had a really good
50-3 versus John Overton.
Yep. So I remember last year going to Pope.
I get nervous when people point at me.
I'm sorry.
You're right.
You point at me.
No, I give you other hand signals.
Ah, you're a liar. Either way, I went to a Pope game last year when they played Baylor, and it was supposed to be a huge matchup with, you know, Kenny Minchie. You know,
remember that, yeah.
And so Kenny Minchie went down with an injury the week before, so the whole Whit Muschamp versus Kenny Minchie didn't end up happening, and they started a freshman quarterback by the name of Sebastian Nelson, and the kid had a lot of heart. But just couldn't get it done. I wonder if he is the starter this year going up in this big
game.
We'll
find out
maybe
tonight
how he's kind of progressed going in, because like I said, kid showed a ton of heart last year, but he was super small. You know, obviously a freshman going up against at the varsity level is always hard to get that call the week before. So I think it's going to be an interesting game. Anytime a rivalry game, it doesn't matter what happened the week before. You know, we talked about how, you know, Pope had a bad game last week and Ryan had a good one. But, you know, when it's a rivalry game like this and everything's on the line,
everything is on the line tonight because it's the next game. That's what's important because it's the next game that's happening.
Every week you're 1-0.
Every week. You try to be 1-0, right? That's the whole goal of all that.
But honestly, this is a great week for high school football in Middle Tennessee. I mean, I'm seeing Brentwood Academy at Brentwood. Did you go to the Brentwood Academy game?
Did not.
This past Saturday against CPA?
But I'll be at the Bishop's Cup tonight because we're helping out Fox 17. Make sure you tune in tonight, Fox 17, and watch me on there because I'll give you a shout-out.
Well, I got the two TVs set up, so I'll have the Titans game, and then I'll have Big Joe on the go just right in front of my
About 9:40 tonight. I'll be at the Bishop's Cup game tonight, so make sure you watch. I love high school football. It's pure. It's fun. It's just so much life lessons being built, you know, every Friday night. Plus, it's going to be 1,000 degrees. So,
especially around here in Middle Tennessee, the talent is everywhere. Go out to a game. It is. Enjoy it. Bring your family. Bring your friends. High school football is back. Week 0 of college football kicks off tomorrow. Again, we brought it up numerous times. Make sure to tune in to Vanderbilt versus Hawaii. That kicks off tomorrow night at 6:30 right here on 102.5 and 106.3. The game. Big Joe.
Are we done? Where's the shut-up music?
We're all done.
It's not quite there yet. Okay. I will say, hey, Big Joe, make sure you bring your mustard packets. We got a party going on back here. Mustard packets and pickle juice.
For?
Cramps. Can't have the cramps.
I'm in shape, man. I'm in good shape.
Joe likes to run the sidelines to get all the up and close.
I run covers. During, like, commercial timeouts. I run sprints on the field. So
have to block off the track. You know, the band has to get in the way just so he doesn't, you know, take laps.
I mean, it's just got to be part of what's going on out there. Perpetually.
Joe, I'll be tuned in tonight. I better be seeing some sprints back and forth.
You will. I'm going to sprint after this segment this morning out back here at the radio station and do a few things.
Absolutely.
Oh, there we are. There's the shut-up music.
But appreciate doing the show with you
today.
Thanks, brother. Big Joe, it was always great to do this stuff with you. Chase McCabe Show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Caroline Willie and D. Mace is coming up next.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.